Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here. It's hour two for the 31st of January, and we are fixing our eyes on Jesus together again this morning. Certainly appreciated that conversation with Bruce Ashford talking about not being discipled by the news organizations or political structures of our day, to really continue to allow our hearts and our minds to be shaped by the words of Scripture, by this journey with an ever-present God. It really does anchor us in a different kind of way in this world. And as we start hour two here this morning, on my last day on the show, I don't know if it's Rachel Sutton or Paul Perot who's in charge of call screening, but there is a name that somehow got through all of the filters and all of the things that we set up in the firewalls to avoid them ever coming back into the program, but he somehow made it through. It is my first producer and good friend, Logan Roush from Waterloo, Iowa, where he has a new gig down there. Good morning, Logan.
Good morning, Peter. See, the issue is, if I can't keep you out of my life, you're not allowed to keep me out of yours. Two-way street.
I love it, because every time I text you, Logan, it just says do not disturb, but it seems super unique to just my phone number.
You know, these are iPhone complications. You heard about the FaceTime issue. It's just a bug, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is. Well, certainly delightful to hear your voice again. I can't thank you enough for all the work that you did early on, as you and Rachel have sort of been my radio parents over these last 7 months and sort of teaching me the ropes of what it means to be on the air. And I'm really just still thrilled for you and your new role down in Iowa.
Well, thank you, Peter. I mean, I've been so blessed, and I really just wanted to call in this morning just to take a second to really say thanks. I mean, this show has been, when I came out of college, right there, this few months ago, I was in a very interesting and in rocky place with my faith, and just working on the show and being with you, I mean, it was restorative, it was informative, it was wonderful, and so I really just had to take a second to call in and say thanks, Jim Bilby. You truly have been a change in my life, and really incredible.
Logan,
I
am rarely at a loss for words, as you know, Logan, but you got me with that one. Certainly our good friend Jim Bilby is sitting in the studio right now, and Jim, maybe truer words have never been spoken. Logan's great gratitude goes all to you.
Logan, that was spectacular. Well done. I'm sure with that sort of wit, you're going to go far in Waterloo and maybe even in Iowa. And, that was awesome. That was really great.
Great stuff, Logan.
All sincerity, Peter, really, you are fantastic. You are so insightful and wonderful. And it has been a blessing for me and for the listeners all over to be hearing your voice these last 2 months, and I'm, as every guest is saying, and will continue to say, we wish you the best.
No, thanks so much, Logan. I'm actually authentically trying to hold back some tears this morning, because it's been such a joy. Every morning to get up and be in studio, it's, not easy for anybody that gets up early, and I know a lot of our listeners do too, but boy, what an incredible ride to be in studio with you and Rachel and Paul and all of these guests. My faith has been strengthened considerably being on the journey like this with everybody. So thanks for all the work that you do. I know it's not the last time we'll chat. I know you're back in town next week, and looking forward to catching up over dinner.
You bet. Thank you, guys. Can't wait to listen. My favorite segment every week.
I love it. And that means that Jim Bilby is joining us, as he does here on Thursday mornings, for Ask Anything. Up next, we'll talk a little bit about the importance of just this very conversation, Jim. Why do we even need an Ask Anything segment if what we're doing, we're called to love God and love one another, if it's as simple as that, and it is on many levels, what is the role of theological inquiry in the midst of all of that? So more to come with our good friend Jim Bilby next on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here on the 31st of January. It's 9 minutes past the top of the hour, and we're joined by Professor Jim Bilby, who teaches Christian theology, has for the better part of 20-ish or so years, and just does such a great job intersecting with students on some of these difficult topics. I know, Jim, you're well-loved at Bethel University where you teach, and I know you wouldn't say it out loud, but your classes are some of the most popular. I know my son even wants to audit your class, even if he's attending a different institution. So thanks for all the work that you do, and thanks for the time you spent here on Faith Radio Mornings. I love the topics that we get into all the time.
Oh, thank you, Peter. It's a joy doing what I do. My football coach back in college used to say the key thing is you got to find something you love and then do that, and then you'll never have to work a day in your life. And so I don't work much.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I know off air you're the same as what you are on air. You just these sort of topics and following Jesus in this world and what it means from a theological standpoint just sort of bleed out of you. So I appreciate the wisdom that you bring. And I know some of what you and I were texting about yesterday was the idea of even the role and the place for theological inquiry, and even specifically why this kind of segment. Why do we have to have this Ask Anything kind of segment? I know it was originally birthed from a sort of a common pattern of questions that you've seen from students year in and year out, and it really ends up paralyzing them in their faith. So talk a bit about the importance of this kind of topic.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you can come at this a couple different directions. First, there's all these questions out there that students have. But interestingly, one of the questions that they end up having is, why do we even have to talk about all this stuff? Why do we have to get into the weeds about with all these debates and these questions about this and culture that and reading scripture this way? Shouldn't the faith be just this simple, easy thing? And especially since, you know, love God, love neighbor, nothing else matters.
Right.
You know, rough paraphrase, that's the basic idea. And so that's a really good question. Why do we have to get into the weeds on these things? And When I'm approached with this question, I usually try to, a lot of theological questions you have to give a yes and no to, right? You have to say, well, there's this, but then there's also this. So there's absolutely a sense in which scripture is really, really clear, and the faith is really, really simple, right? Here's how clear we can make scripture. Genesis 1 and 2, God created, it was good. Genesis 3, we messed it up. Genesis 4, to the end of the New Testament, God's fixing what we messed up.
Yeah.
Right. And so at one level, it's incredibly simple and straightforward. But nobody in their right mind would think that when you start getting into the details of reading scripture and interpreting it and in understanding the original culture and then understanding what part of that is transcultural and still applies to us today. And of course, there's going to be incredibly messy problems. Right. And so I think a good analogy is parenting. Right. At one level, parenting is just really simple. Right. You do everything you can do to love them, to steer them in the right direction. And if you're not sure about something, you just default back to loving them in the best way you possibly can, right? But, of course, getting into the actual weeds of what do you do in this situation on this day with respect to this request and this cultural trend, incredibly difficult. So I think our faith and our reading of Scripture has a similar sort of thing that, yeah, at one level it is very simple, and sometimes we need to revert back to that simplicity and never forget that simplicity. But when we're actually living in the world and we're actually engaging questions that come at us by culture and by other people, we also have to get into the weeds. It's a robust both and.
Yeah, I love the both and, as I think we would both agree that loving God and loving your neighbor is the heart of the kingdom. It is exactly what Jesus said in terms of saying all the law and the prophets, they all hang on that reality. And I think we would acknowledge that. But I think some things that sometimes stand in the way of us engaging in that love is that we're paralyzed by the way we think about the kingdom, and we're paralyzed by thoughts about God. I know that Rachel Sutton and I were just talking off air after our last segment with Bruce Ashford, in which he was talking about an ethic of life and abortion and the killing of children. And it's one thing that you and I have addressed a few different times in the show. It's why would a good God let these sorts of things happen?
Sure.
And that is one of many questions that ultimately can paralyze us so substantially in this faith. I might want to go love God and love other people, but if I'm like, I don't think this God actually cares about anybody, why am I doing this other stuff? It really does work hand in hand.
There's so much that is driven in our faith by the subtle images we have of God in our head.
Yeah.
So, and one of my good friends said, you know, he realized that for the first 25 years of his life, when he thought of God, what he thought of was a disappointed old man looking down on him from heaven, angry at his sin, right? Well, if that's your picture of God, how does that affect how you live? How does that affect how you read scripture? How does that affect you know, everything, right? And so much of these questions force us to come back and look at our images and engage them, and then hopefully bring those to Scripture and run them through Scripture and say, does this actually fit with what God's Word says?
And just that point alone about God being an angry God, I certainly, that might be one of the most pervasive views that I run into with my students coming out of just a broad swath of evangelical institutions and different churches. They come with sort of this common image that you just described, that God is sort of perpetually and pervasively angry at them, that is God's primary posture towards them. And that really does then end up being a place of, I don't even know that I want to serve this God. I'm afraid. I don't even know what it means to love. And just even exploring with them the simple concept that in the Scriptures, the anger is not a pervasive characteristic of God. It's passing. It's always the very last move, and it's always motivated by God's disappointment and grief in a situation where he might have to raise his hand, but it's through tears, not through some, you know, proving how powerful he is somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, you're right. That is absolutely incredibly pervasive, but it's absolutely terrible that equally pervasive, and sometimes people have these exact same images together, is what I call 7-pound, 3-ounce baby Jesus image of God, right? So we oscillate back and forth between this God of anger and you know, lightning bolt zapping me down to, on the other hand, oh, just cute baby Jesus is, you know, look, giving me whatever I want. He's just this effusive love, no holiness, no wrath at sin, nothing at all. And we have a hard time finding the middle, the middle that's articulated by Scripture, that yes, God is wrathful at sin, and yes, he is holy, and he can't be in relationship with sin by his very nature, but still his fundamental disposition toward us is one of love and desiring us to repent and turn from our ways, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, such an important point. We end up with this idea of almost a split Godhead. We end up with a good cop, a bad cop, kind of not even necessarily a Trinitarian God, because we don't always know what to do with the Holy Spirit in the midst of all of this. But be curious. We'll get your thoughts on this next after a break. When Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I and the Father are one, how do we end up in this sort of split dichotomous relationship where we have an angry God of the new and a good cop, and or an angry God of the old and a good cop, a happy cop in the new? It's such an interesting point of view. So I want to get your take on that next here on Faith Radio Mornings. It is just about 20 minutes after the top of the hour here on the 31st of January for Faith Radio Mornings. We're having a conversation with Professor Jim Bilby, as we do every Thursday at this time, about just different questions that we tend to have of the faith. And Jim, as we've been chatting this morning and trying to address the question, why does theology matter? Using this as an example about the way that we think about God and God being an angry God or ending up in kind of this good cop, bad cop relationship, it does really impact us. And is there some sort of history around this? I mean, typically there's usually some pretty significant theological movements that shape generations to come in their views of God. How did we get to this point of this angry God of the Old Testament versus the good cop or the loving God of the New Testament?
Well, it's been a tension in the church all the way back, right? In the early church, there was a heretic named Marcion. And Marcion wanted to basically take everything out of the Old Testament and throw it away and keep just some stuff in the New Testament. He liked Luke, didn't like Matthew, right? And so there's been this polarization between the God of wrath, supposedly from the Old Testament, and the God of love, supposedly from the New Testament, that's been with us forever. And the problem is it can't stand up scrutiny of Scripture, because the God of the Old Testament is the God of Hosea, that is, despite the unfaithfulness of his wife, of course, representing the nation of Israel, that he keeps coming back and he keeps coming back, and his love just shines as brightly as you can imagine. And the God of the love in the New Testament also speaks quite a bit about wrath at sin and actually even hell.
Yeah.
So it's a distinction that is made, I think, to try to maybe there are some things that you want to try to understand. And certainly we see God's love most powerfully in the person of Jesus. And I think that's deliberate. There's a certain progressiveness to Revelation there. But to try to draw the distinction between Old Testament, bad cop, you know, New Testament, good cop, just doesn't work.
Yeah, I love this example as one that why theology matters. And I think it's also helpful to note, and it's part of what I really appreciate about how you approach this, is that you approach theology from the perspective of not trying to get to a point where you can prove that you're right about all things, as if any of us are ever at that case, and then you become the gatekeeper of all truth. And but there's so much division that can happen in theological inquiry when we approach it that way. And we do want to have thoughts that are consistent with God's kingdom. We have to pursue that. But it's interesting when it's more of an act of worship that we get up and pursue the God we don't claim to fully know yet. It's a wonderful inquiry then, as opposed to, I'm going to study this to make sure that I'm right about everything, because I can't remember a time in my life that I've ever been right about everything.
Yeah, and if it's about being right, then it's about us. And ultimately, that doesn't fill our spirit. That doesn't cause us to follow Jesus Christ better. Right. It has to be about seeking to understand who this God is, and then not just for trivia to lock away into your head, but then to pour out the pores of your body and to inform your actions and to inform how you love other people. Right. That's the way it has to be. It has to be. And yeah, I love the idea of it being an act of worship. Right. And, you know, for some people, doing theology is scary. Right. You know, we're not all called to be like PhDs and theologians, mm-hmm. right? There are certain people that absolutely, their passion, you and I, we love getting into the weeds on this stuff and engaging this stuff in detailed ways. There are other people whose primary abilities and giftings really aren't along this line at all. And it's not at all we're the really good Christians, because the most amazing Christians that I know are my grandparents and my parents, and they're not theologians in any shape, way, or form. They don't engage these questions in the same way. But there is a body of Christ thing where there does need to be some people that are willing to engage these questions for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of the Christian community.
Yeah, I love that. Not so self-important as to elevate one form of and one giftedness related to the kingdom, such as, you know, pursuing theology or PhD. I love your comment. I think you once said it on air where you said, you know, having a PhD means that you get to know more and more about less and less until you know absolutely nothing about anything.
Yeah, you learn all there is to know about nothing at all. Exactly.
I love that. It's Jim Bilby, professor of Christian theology, as part of our Ask Anything segment. And Jim, getting back to this question of love and love God and love one another, even that is informed a bit by theological inquiry, because the way we think about love in our culture right now so often is synonymous with embrace and approval and sort of turned a blind eye to, and I don't want to be judgy and these sorts of things. And it gets into just even what is the biblical definition of love, where held with humility, but love is sort of the idea that I will give fully of myself in a self-sacrificing, other-centered way because I'm passionately inclined towards you and your well-being, and I'll give up everything for your wholeness. That's a different kind of love that the Bible's calling us to than the idea of we just embrace everything and turn a blind eye.
Yeah, our society has gotten so scrambled on this. I mean,
right.
First, love is just synonym for sex, right?
Right.
It's so in so many different segments of our culture, and in the crazy thing that in doing that, they actually not only when they talk about love just as sex, they're aiming at sex, but they're not even remotely getting love, and ultimately then the sex gets corrupted as well. There's so many evil has this powerful force that when you walk down that path, it sort of corrupts everything, and even the good things from God's creation that should be there get marred and harmed by that. So you're right, our sense of love is in culture is terrible, and not only is it there's this just pervasive, sexuality that whenever we just think of love and sex as being equivalent, we have, like you said, this sense of just, well, that means just anything, right? So it's almost like love becomes tolerance, which actually is just fascinating to me, because the notion of tolerance is an idea that the way it gets used is kind of like, well, if you're going to tolerate me, you need to accept anything that I do. There can't be any disagreements between you and I. That's fascinating, because the very concept of tolerance, doesn't it require disagreement? Doesn't it mean that there's something there to tolerate? You know, there's something that needs to be tolerated. Mm-hmm. There has to be a tolerator, a toleratee, and something to be tolerated, right? Right. So the way our society uses this concept of tolerance, that, you know, the really loving thing to do is to be tolerant, I think it's problematic. I think a lot of times, if you truly love a person, you're not going to tolerate some things. You're going to be willing to call out some things, but call out some things not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the person that you're speaking to.
Yeah, it reminds me of Hebrews 12, where we're never more anchored in the love of God than when we are being disciplined by God in those ways as proof that we are his sons and his daughters. And that is a counterintuitive kind of idea, but I love your words on tolerance, because I've never gone to sleep at night feeling just so full-hearted and just at peace because somebody tolerated me all day.
Yeah, and as Christians, of course, tolerance is too low of a goal, right?
Yeah.
Scripture doesn't say, love the Lord God with the heart, soul, and mind, and tolerate your neighbor, right? We're actually called to quite a bit of a higher standard, and as Christians, that should be something we embrace and actually get excited about waking up every day and doing.
Now, Jim, thanks so much for joining us on Thursday mornings, as you have throughout all of this time here in studio. Your accessibility, your humility, your passion, wisdom, engagement in all these topics, I don't say it lightly. You're a person that I just trusted in my life, and I'm really glad to be part of this journey with you and just with all of our listeners that have texted and sent in all these questions during our time together.
Peter, thank you. You know, I love talking about theology, but I could do it any time of the day. You make it worth getting up early and coming in here and doing this. You're so good at this, and actually is most of the things that you do. And I'm really proud of you, what you've done, and how you've pulled all this together. And it's been my honor to be a part of it.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate those words. I don't even know what to say after that, other than maybe to take a break, tear up a little bit, and go to some Breakpoint and bottom of the hour news and be joined by a special guest as the last guest here on Faith Radio Mornings for today. Part of the cold weather this week, we had a really fun song that we played called the Minnesota Doxology yesterday. And Josh Svensson, we thank him at Spirit 92.9 for this song. We're going to play another repeat of this here for the bottom of the hour news.
Praise God, from whom all blizzards flow. Praise him at 35 below. Praise him in snow drifts 10 feet deep. Praise him though winter makes us weep. It's cold.
Last day of that bitter cold right now, at least in the Midwest. I know it's heading to the East Coast, but again, special thanks to Josh Svensson at Spirit 92.9 for that. I think it's my new ringtone that I'm going to wake up to each morning. Well, up next here on Faith Radio Mornings, our final guest of the day is going to be a special guest, and we'll introduce him here next in just a couple of minutes. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we are joined in studio on that frigid Wednesday morning by a good friend, Taylor Bongard, who's a pastoral ministry here locally and part of the next generation of pastors in our city. And he talked about the polarization of culture and one place we can have a safe conversation.
The church has one of the coolest opportunities right now, not to correct the polarization or to say this is the right way, this is the wrong way, you're in, you're out. But can the church be a place where we can bring who we are, what we're dealing with, our struggles, our disappointments, our shame? Can we bring that and be vulnerable enough with each other to understand that we're going to have differences, but then to learn how to love each other in those differences and to have these safe conversations within the church? And this is maybe getting back to the church building itself. That can be a safe place to bring this and to see each other and to say, man, we are so different and I disagree with you. But that doesn't change that I love you, and that's my call as a follower of Jesus, is to show you and express God's love to you. And I just wonder, man, if we don't do it in the church, is it ever going to happen anywhere else? I don't know if there's a safe environment for that to take place. So this polarization that we experience every day, 24 hours a day, let's bring that into the church, and let's just be open with, hey, what do we do with that? And let's do that together.
I left yesterday's show just so filled with hope. When we speak with people of the next generation that just have such a passion, such a well-thought-out view of the kingdom and leading the next generations to come, I know we cycle in and out of this world so quickly, but we're part of an eternal kingdom that knows no end, and so there's always hope and always future. And even if we die, yet we live, there is a kingdom to come. And in the meantime, God continues to call up the next generation to minister his life and hope in this world. If you want to catch all of what Taylor and Katie had to say yesterday, just head to My Faith Radio. com, and they had just such great insights during our hour together. Well, up next, after a short break, we're going to be joined by one last guest in my tenure here as Faith Radio Mornings host, and we'll introduce him into the program, and I might just have to leave between now and then.
What is your definition of peace? Is it a house with no yelling? Maybe a few quiet moments without the kids making a mess? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. The world's definition of peace is the absence of conflict. But God's definition of peace is hope in the middle of conflict. When there's tension and disappointment in your relationships, you have the choice to trust God and to see that the hardship will lead you to a deeper relationship with your teen. If you sweep struggle and conflict beneath the carpet, you'll keep your family relationships from growing. In fact, requiring a non-conflict home will only atrophy your family muscles. Today, view peace from a different perspective. Let God bring peace in the middle of the conflict.
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
That music, of course, was chosen by the man that got me into this mess to begin with. One good friend of mine, the former Faith Radio Mornings host, was the late morning show. Or what was the name of the show again, Bill, when you were running this for the better part of a year?
The Early Morning Late Show.
Oh, you're just the best. I will never forget when I met you for the first time. We were in about 10 minutes of a meeting. I think that's about all you could take for the meeting. You stood up and you dragged me into the studio. I had no prep time at all, and you said, "Let's have a go at it." And ever since then, you just keep dragging me forward. So I'm so glad that you joined us here, last guest for my time here as Faith Radio Mornings host. And I just can't thank you enough for just the work that you do and for getting me into this whole mess to begin with.
Well, I did everything I could to crush your ambitions, but all you did was continue to succeed.
Well, I'll tell you what, the conversations that you've had, the mentoring that you've given, and just your faithfulness, Bill, in so many ways. And I'm sure you probably have some things to roast me with this morning, but I'm going to start, you know, by trying to maybe, you know, just bless those who might persecute me this morning. And so Bill, I just thank you so much for what you've done and the ministry that you have here at Faith Radio and all the ways in which you've led me along.
Well, you know, Peter, being your last guest should be an honor, but I worry people will say, yeah, he had Bill Arnold on, and then poof, next day he was gone.
Well, certainly as part of this deal and working together, it's been, I think some of the topics you and I talk about quite often have to do with sort of just the troubling dimensions of organizational faith and organized religion in our country. And certainly there are so many good organizations as well. And I think that can get lost in the headlines of the kinds of things that happen in the Catholic Church, the kind of things that we see out of some of the large Protestant churches as well. It almost seems like every week, but there are so many faithful ministries, so many faithful people, so many people following Jesus and will give their lives, loving him down to their toes. And it's one of those things that I'm happy to report that whatever is going out over the airwaves day in and day out of Faith Radio is matched behind the scenes. It's really faithful people really wanting to make a difference in this world. And it's just been a delight to be part of it in the way that I have.
Yeah, and Peter, you really have done such an awesome job. I mean, the morning show, I've always felt that is such sacred time because that's when people are getting up and getting their day started. And listeners absorb everything. And it's so... it's such a gift to be able to show up in the morning, as you know, and be part of their morning, getting their day started.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the morning show. Well, I've always missed it and I've always loved it.
Yeah, you talked about that sacred space where you drive in as the sun is rising and just starting the day together. And that's one of the things, Bill, too, with our listeners, that we really get a chance to hear from a few times a year, obviously, when we're sort of setting aside a few shows to just talk about the fact that we are not a station that is supported by advertising or goes out and looks for people to support us from that kind of standpoint. It really is an entire community of people that are doing this whole journey together. And you, those are some of the primary messages that you really imprinted on me, was that these are real people with real lives and real passions, real joys, real sorrows, all of it, that this isn't just some sort of making money ministry. This is really about being part of something that is carrying on well after us.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole morning show, Peter, and you were so faithful, and I know that you have a lot on your plate as a teacher and as a business person and all that. And, you know, the early morning, even things like the early morning drive to the station is sacred space, was sacred space for me, you know, and it depended on the seasons, because it can go anywhere from how beautiful and peaceful the roads are at 4 a.m. to, wow, if I drive off the road, no one will know for days. And the whole getting up, coming to the station, connecting with the team in the morning, and being part of everyone's morning is such an enormous thrill. And then to bring the glory of God and to bring scripture and to bring encouragement and hope into people's day, I tell you, it is the greatest slot of the day, with the exception of the afternoons from 3 to 5 with Bill Arnold. I mean, then after that, the morning show is absolutely the best.
I love it, Bill. And you do reference the people who work behind the scenes here, and I do want to give a shout-out this morning. Obviously, some kind words have been said about me, and that's part of what when you're the on-air person, that's part of the deal. But I always feel bad for the people behind the scenes, that they don't get the recognition that they deserve. And when we talk about faithfulness, I don't know of anybody more faithful than Paul Perreault, who has just been here, and he's seen so many different iterations of this morning show. And there hasn't been a morning, Bill, where I've gotten here and arrived in studio that he isn't already here, that he already hasn't done a ton of work, that there isn't all the news that's waiting on my desk, and it makes me look awfully good. If I ever look good on the morning show, it's primarily because of the work of Paul behind the scenes. And not just that, he sends me news articles and books the guests and all of these things. So you've worked with Paul, you've known Paul for a long time too, and I just wanted to take at least a minute this morning to recognize that the faithful work and the love for Jesus that really Paul has.
Yeah, no, Paul's he's a great guy and just a great person just to be going, journeying alongside with. And you know, Paul's usually the first one there, in the morning. He gets there like at 3:30 or something. And then, you know, as the morning shift, Peter, you know this all too well. You have that distinct advantage of being able to drink coffee the first time it goes through the grounds. Cause I'm not there till the afternoon when, you know, water's been run through it about 5 times. So. It is such a great opportunity to meet people where they're at in the morning. I can't say enough about what a fantastic job you have done. You're an amazing conversationalist. You draw the best out of people. And the fact that we did meet that one day and you wanted to do radio, and I said, well, let's go to the studio right now and record something. And you said, okay. And you knocked it out of the park that morning. And from there on, I thought, this guy has got chops. And the fact that you got the morning show, and I've just been so proud of the way I've watched you just get better and better every day.
Well, I will never admit it publicly, Bill, and I would never say things out loud over the airwaves, but I was absolutely terrified that morning. I thought, if I can even just say a 2-syllable word at any moment when you're asking me these questions. And of course, so enjoyed the time with you on those Thursday mornings. After that, just the bantering back and forth. Well, we'll take a short break. Bill, got a few minutes left here in the morning show. When we come back, I'd love to get a sense of what you're up to in the afternoons as well, and what you sort of see as the future and the important conversations we really have to keep having here as part of the kingdom of God. It is 9 minutes before the top of the hour here on the 31st of January, and we're chatting with good friend Bill Arnold, a voice you know, a trusted voice here as part of the Faith Radio Network. And Bill, as we got the last couple minutes here, I'd be curious your thoughts in terms of what you see in the future in terms of the needed conversations in the kingdom. You've seen a lot in your time here on radio and before that as well about the ever-shifting culture, and what sort of gives you a passion moving forward for this?
I didn't think you were going to ask me, like, serious questions.
You know, Bill, I'm going to try to pull out the fact that I know that you actually love Jesus down to your toes. And so we're going to try
totally.
To pull it, right? And so I'm just curious. I know that you care deeply about these things, and you have such great comedic timing. But sometimes, I want our listeners to know beneath the surface of that, what really drives you is a passion for the kingdom.
Well, I love to communicate the gospel. I love to connect with people, and I love to share joy. I mean, Jesus says in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I think, well, how often are we Christians characterized as people of good cheer? I mean, we should be filled with joy, and we should be you know, connecting with great joy to each other. And I listen to the kinds of brokenness that come in, especially when we open up the phone lines and my heart breaks into a thousand pieces. There's so many people carrying such heavy burdens. So I always wanted to try to bring some levity to the show. You've done a great job of that. And I want to let our listeners know too that Dr. Peter Kapsner is not going away. You're going to be our number one bench player. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities, I believe, for you to continue to be on the air when I need some time off or there's other openings where we need someone to fill in.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Bill. Certainly, as other parts of my life maybe decrease a little bit or diminish, to be part of this journey with all of you and with the listeners has just been such a full heart. So who knows? None of us know what the future holds, of course. I think if we could fast forward a year from now in any of our lives, anybody listening, and kind of spend a day a year from now in our life, we'd probably all be a little bit surprised by what might unfold in the next 12 months.
Absolutely. And I did notice that your Spider-Man alarm clock is on eBay. and, you know, you're a dad with five kids, as I'm sure your listeners know. And I know your family will be benefiting from getting dad back to being fully awake and no longer confused by the concept of mixed vegetables.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I do get to that time of the day at 5:30 in the afternoon, and a pea and a piece of corn all look the same to me at that point. You know what it's like. But you hit on it, Bill, and that's the primary reason. I love being here, and it really is with mixed feelings on so many different levels. But I once made a commitment when I walked through a very difficult illness and a time in my life that I would never again run roughshod over my kids in the pursuit of some kind of vocation and career. And that's not what this was. This was just an interesting time that I didn't see coming, and have so loved it. But recognize that for at least a short season ahead, I want to be there when my kids are coming down the stairs in their jammies and be a father and a shepherd and a friend and a mentor to them.
Yeah, I think it was Peggy Noonan who said that TV gives everyone an image, but radio gives birth to a million images in a million brains. Hmm. And, you know, radio is such an intimate space, and you have done such an awesome job of making me feel like I have a friend. Because when you create conversation that I want to listen to and that I'm drawn to, I mean, that is companionship. That is friendship. You know, people get in their car and they might be driving to work in the morning and they might have anxiety. They might be on their way to a doctor's appointment that they're nervous about, and they get the comforting voice and the encouragement from you. And I have to say, Peter, I know the people are going to miss you in the morning big time.
Well, I will miss them too, Bill. But as you said, this isn't the end of the journey for any of us. Looking forward to more time, more conversations, more counsel with you. So thanks for being my final guest.
So
I was so grateful for that.
You compliments right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you're out of words. So good luck. Maybe you need a little time away and silence and solitude to get ready for the afternoon show now.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Great. We'll take a break here and wrap up our show here for the 31st of January. Well, before I get out of Dodge one last time here, I just want to thank all of you again for listening. Just has been an incredible privilege. It's an overused word, I know, in the Christian community, but I mean it from the bottom of my toes. Just be here with you in the mornings, Paul and Rachel. I will miss our time together, but it is with a full heart that I leave, filled with faith for the wonderful work that the two of you have done. And thinking about how to close up the show here this morning for the last time, I know the thing that I care about most is being part of a kingdom that really knows no end. And our names and our voices and our lives are all together so short. And so we spend our time extolling the virtues of our King Jesus. And as we've said often on this morning show, that tomb is empty. And I couldn't think of a better way to end my time in the show than with a bit of a song that describes that very fact from Carrie Job. This is Forever. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I appreciate the time. And we'll be with you again shortly on Faith Radio.
We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.